Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined as usual by Shane and Jack. And tonight we are going to break down FAU's upcoming game against Marshall. The Thundering Herd and FAU have established a pretty solid rivalry the past couple years. Definitely some good games. And so tonight we're going to go over that. We have a guest from Marshall joining us. And we have a little bit of scheduling news. So definitely a busy week for FAU football. And I guess to get started, Marshall, one of the few teams that has played almost their whole slate of games this year. And FAU, as many know, has only played one game. And there's definitely going to be some challenges. FAU had some COVID challenges the past couple weeks. We really don't know what the team is going to look like this Saturday. So, you know, in the past couple of years, I've always been pretty optimistic with FAU's chances going in. This week, I'll say, just because we have zero idea who is going to be playing. Taggart said today that essentially they're going to have enough players. What does enough mean? Are we going to have 53 players, with walk-ons filling half of those spaces? Who knows? So, that's kind of, I think it'll be a challenge for sure. And Marshall's ranked this week as well, so FAU's got a chance, somewhat of a legitimate chance, for our first win against a ranked team. So I don't know, Shane, what are your thoughts this for this year's FAU Marshall game?
Well, normally this is a week you'd be super excited, Marshall hate week. This game obviously we've had so many great games with this team, and expect, going back to last year with the craziness with the refs. But this year's all just been kind of COVID news. And, we are 17-point underdogs for a reason in this game. We do not know who's going to be available for FAU. Marshall is too good of a football team to go in there and, have your C team or C game. You pretty much need all hands on deck to beat this team. And, we as fans know that. That's just not going to be available this week. But I'm kind of looking at – I'm going to try and take that into a positive, right? We get a game where if we win or play close, it's great. I mean, that's great. You beat a really good football team without your whole team. If you lose, even if you lose a little ugly – hey, there's a lot of teams out there that would be down 20 players that would lose badly to this team. And there's not much you can control. I mean, even if FAU gets some guys back, I mean, a lot of these guys are guys who haven't practiced in 2 weeks. How in shape they are. Are they rusty? Have they been tackling? You know what I mean? You get a guy that hasn't tackled or been at practice for 2 weeks, and it's like, boom, go tackle Greg Knox. What is that going to look like?
Yeah, and I mean, Marshall just has so much talent, and with so much uncertainty in the team, we just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the receivers are good. Brendan Knox, I mean, as much as Shane and I are going to hate to say it, he probably is the best running back in the conference. At least his numbers.
I don't agree with that, but
I mean, I at this point, I don't know, and I'll say this: he has an offensive line that at least makes him seem like he's the best.
That's the key.
In the conference. I mean, that senior Layden offensive line, they just get so much push in the trenches, it's ridiculous. And then you have Grant Wells, their freshman quarterback. Our guest is going to talk about him for a little bit because he has just been a revelation. And Marshall's blowing teams out like it's nothing. I mean, their closest game was beating App State on national TV on CBS 17-7. They gave up 7 points to App State. They blew out Kentucky on the road. They blew out Louisiana Tech on the road. As much as we're going to talk about their offense, Wells, Xavier Gaines, probably the best tight end in Conference USA. I feel like we're saying this a lot about our opponents. The best position in Conference USA. Their defense is nuts. Their defense is insane. They might do a little bend, don't break, like what we used to do over the past 2 years. But they're going to wait for the opposing offense to make a mistake first, and our offense is still looking for identity. So I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to be playing mistake-free football in one of the most difficult places in all of FBS football to play. Marshall has the second best home record in all of FBS football. That speaks for itself.
Yeah, and again, where I think one of the biggest challenge, and Shane kind of mentioned this earlier, is who's practiced. You know, who's had the opportunity to tackle, to go through any type of kind of pregame workouts, and pregame run throughs. I think that's, you know, talent wise, again, I and we'll talk a little about this later with Aaron from Herd Nation, but you know, talent wise, we stack up really well. FAU may have the edge talent wise, top to bottom, but how much of that talent is going to be available? And they've played four games and we've played one, you know, and they had essentially, I don't think they had a break the past couple of weeks. I mean, they played Louisiana Tech last week. So they have some consistency going in. FAU is piecing together practices at odd hours. You know, just who's going to be here based off positivity tests and contact tracing. So I think that's going to be the biggest issue it can't really be a measuring stick game as, you know, where we are, because where are we? I mean, it's just such an unfortunate challenge, but hey, we get to watch a football game this weekend.
Two things for FAU to win this game, two things will have to happen. They will have to, especially early on, they will have to get through some of the rust. If they can keep the game close while there's some of the rust kicked off, almost like there was against Charlotte, while they kind of figure things out and get in a rhythm, they might have a chance. And also just to build a little bit of confidence, like, okay, yeah, we might be down, guys, but, you know, hey, we're only down by a touchdown and it's the middle of the second quarter. We're in this. Also, you know, they're going to have to – Marshall plays – we know how Marshall plays. They are going to, and Jack kind of mentioned, they are going to wait for you to make mistakes. They grind it out. They almost play, for the Dolphin fans out there, the old Dave wants that type football. They want to run the ball. They want to play defense, and they want to force a couple turnovers and kind of play mistake-free football. And if we can avoid the mistakes, you know, almost like when we went up there in 2018, Chris Robinson threw five interceptions. If anyone remembers that game, it was like 7-7 at halftime or something. We actually outgained them in that game. We had more total yards in a game. We lost by four touchdowns. So, you know, if we can kind of avoid letting Marshall play their game, we might, you know, we kind of might stand a chance. Also, if they just play loose, if they just go into this being like, you know what, we got one regular starting cornerback and we got one true freshman starting corner out there, let's just go with it. Let's almost just bring a backyard attitude to the game. And not have all this pressure of, oh, we need to win this. And, you know, it could lead to some confidence and momentum in the game.
Shane, I'm really happy you mentioned 2018, because I think the key of the game is going to be field position. In the 2018 game, we were slaughtered in starting field position. I mean, how many drives did we start within our own 10-yard line? Because Marshall's punter was just playing out of his mind. We're going to have to start drives near midfield because, as I mentioned earlier, our offense is still finding its identity. It's going to be tough to run the ball against them. We don't know if B.J. Emmons is going to be playing or not. He's listed as questionable. I mean, Jack, Shane, Dan, we all think he's doubtful, really. Just you know, our two cents. So, I mean, maybe some quick hits on the outside, some quick bubble screens. Let's utilize Willie Wright. Let's utilize some speed. But that Marshall defense is fast, man. They're, I think, what, third, fourth, fifth best defense in the country. Jim Leavitt on Tuesday, you know, he's focusing on Marshall's offense, and he's very impressed by their offense. But he said, hey, I saw some video of Marshall's defense. They're legit. They're the real deal. They are good. And that is quite the compliment when – the other team's defensive coordinator says something like that. It's going to be a challenge, but field position, we're going to have to find a way to stop Brandon Knox eventually, to also to avoid the play action deep ball, as we saw Marshall do with great success against Louisiana Tech last week.
Another key, as I kind of missed, was Tronte is going to have to make plays with his arm versus man coverage in this game, okay? This ain't about play calling or drawing up plays or, like, they're going to challenge us and be like, Tronte, Stephen Gilmore is over there covering Aaron Young. You got to throw it where only he can catch it, or else we're just going to load the box. And yeah, it's going to be on Tronte, and you and a good play caller is going to try and attack that. But if we can't make the throws, Marshall's just never going to respect it. And we're going to see what we saw in the first half for Charlotte.
Yeah, that's a good point. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the team will learn from that. And then on the running backs note, like Jack mentioned, BJ Emmons is questionable. But FAU does expect to have James Charles, Larry McCammon, and Malcolm Davidson. So that's a positive thing. So, yeah, so we are going to transition to our interview with our guest from Marshall, Aaron, and please enjoy this interview. All right, and as we have done in the past, normally we try to bring on a guest from the opposition's beat and really kind of get a sense of what's going on for the other team. So tonight we have Aaron from Herd Nation. Welcome, Aaron. Thanks for being on the show.
And thanks for having me.
All right, I guess to get started here, Aaron, can you just tell us a little bit about, for those FAU fans who haven't been following Conference USA and Marshall as much this year, Marshall probably has played more games than anybody else. What's been the sense, or can you give us a summary of the, you know, Marshall season going forward right now?
Well, so far it couldn't ask for much better. Started off 4-0, just come off two road wins against Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech. Defense is playing good. We lost what would have been a 3-year starting quarterback prior to the season, but there hasn't been a drop-off at all. In fact, Grant Wells is a freshman playing as good, if not better, than, you know, Isaiah Green played throughout his career. So Brendan Knox, of course, returns at running back. He's had an excellent year. And the offensive line is all back intact with 5-6 seniors playing at times across the line. So that's the gist of things on offense. Wide receivers are playing pretty well also. Defense has been the calling card so far this year. Just quite frankly, not allowing points that matter all year yet. Appy State got a touchdown early. And that's been it. Everything else has been junk scores late in the game when they didn't really matter. So I'm sure, you know, I'm not as I'm always optimistic that we're going to win, but this weekend I do not think is going to be nearly as easy as some Marshall fans think and some of the people who are setting the line think. I know they're always right typically, but I'm not seeing a 3-score favorite here right now. FAU just has way too much talent, so I guess we'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I typically agree with that, you know, with the typical over the past few years, you've had a lot of kind of so-and-so dogfights between Marshall and FAU, you know, depending on who plays for FAU this week. Do you think a little bit of that comes from, you know, Marshall is always a team that, especially the past few years, has been competitive in Conference USA, but always seems to have those one or two games where Doc Holliday catches a lot of the blame for kind of, I don't want to say choking is the word, but, you know, costs them games, lose games they shouldn't lose to win Conference USA championships.
Yeah, we've definitely had them. You know, last year, you know, we gift wrapped that one twice, you know, with Middleton. Yeah, I'm sure it was beautiful for you all, for Middle and for, and at Charlotte, you know, it was just the, you know, at Middle, we had so many turnovers, and then you come out at Charlotte and it's a game we should win. It's a game, you know, you guys played them in very similar situation, you know, I would say last week, but whenever the last time you guys actually had got to play a game, you know, you guys found a way to win at home. We found it. We dropped two touchdown passes in that game and just basically handed it to them. And then that was it for that. You know, the fact they came back and beat FIU the following week surprised a lot of people after they handed that one away. But it seems to happen. But playing FAU has always been, I don't know if it's where, you know, we always seem to have 30 to 40 players from the state of Florida. It seems like we recruit the same players year in and year out. You guys beat us for half of them. We beat you guys for the other half. And it's always a heated game. And I like games like that. I like games that you can go on Twitter and see FAU fans, going to Marshall fans and back and forth. That it only makes sports fun for all of us, in my opinion.
Not us. That would definitely be us.
We would never. What? Yeah. And Aaron, just so you know, actually, I put that one Titanic song of Victor Tucker catching that fourth down pass. Charlotte wide receiver, the fourth down pass against Marshall late in that game. I put the Titanic song over that, and the fans in Huntington did not appreciate it, but it was a work of art.
I'm sorry that I missed that one.
I'll DM it.
my personal claim to fame has to do with FAU. Sometimes we sit in the far section of the stadium, right where the opposing team leaves and walks up, into the locker room. And it was, I guess, 2 years ago when Kiffin was the coach and you guys went for it on fourth and three at like your own 10 early in the game. I mean, it made no sense to do it, but, you did. And there was a few of us left over after the game, and we like to, non-colorfully. We don't use, not too many of them use too much language or anything, but like to, throw some jabs at them when they leave. And I actually got Kiffin to acknowledge me and turn around and tell me point blank, at least I don't live in Huntington, West Virginia. So that's my claim to fame with FAU.
The memes with the Lane train and who can forget last year's matchup with the referees.
Yeah.
Definitely a fun time for, I think, both fan bases. And 2018 was a great year. For the Marshall fans, just dominating the FAU team the way they did. Let's talk about Grant Wells for a second. You touched on him for a bit. Isaiah Green, looking to be the third-year quarterback, returning starter, probably one of the better quarterbacks in Conference USA. Shane and I have talked about this quite some time, about if he really is an elite Conference USA quarterback or not. But why worry about losing him when you have this freshman back there who's – he's looking like Trevor Lawrence, minus the running game. I mean, he's able to run a little bit here and there. He had a good running touchdown against Louisiana Tech last week. But, I mean, he just looks like the complete package. Why are you guys hiding him for so long? What's going on?
Well, I really think he would have had a chance to win the job this year, even with Green back. When he was recruited at several of the preseason donor lunch, dinners and lunches where the coaches are talking about players coming in, that coaching staff liked him right from the beginning, right when he was a true freshman. They liked what he could do, like primarily with his legs in addition to his arm. And he gave it a run last year. I think had we been more established at other positions last year, I think he would have had a chance to win it heading into last season. But, for whatever reason, whatever happened, and Green's gone and he's in. And it rejuvenated the fan base the second that he was announced, that he was going to be the starter. And it's been good for everyone involved. And, of course, winning helps as well. There's not nearly as much, anti-Doc Holliday stuff going on at the moment as there sometimes is from some people who don't like winning and going to bowl games every year.
Now, you kind of mentioned it, a little bit of your not as much confidence with going into this game. And even see, I was checking out your form today, and most Marshall fans, and even me to a degree, think this is just because of everything that's going on with FAU off the field and probably being limited in depth in a lot of areas. What X's and O's wise do you think, where maybe either a Marshall hasn't been challenged yet or might be a weakness that has you maybe a little bit concerned in this game?
I don't think X's and O's. If it was just X's and O's, I wouldn't be too overly concerned. It's more you know, we've all watched sports our whole life. You've always been a part of a sports team your whole life. And you remember those games, even in youth leagues and high schools, when your star player was hurt or sick or several people were missing and you only had six players in a basketball game. Those were always your best games, it seemed, as a team. You would always outperform everyone at that point in time and maybe not win, but scare a team that you shouldn't have scared. And that's what I'm more worried about because, you know, 1 through 85, I think Marshall and FAU are head and shoulders above every team in this conference. And just because you may be missing 25, whatever the number is, you're still going to have 60 that are there on scholarship for a reason. And, you know, you don't get too many unrated players out of nowhere high school. I mean, your stuff is coming from, and even the guys who haven't been playing, they're mad. They've got a chip on their shoulder and they're out there to perform. And, you know, I just think when it comes down to it, there's talent at every position at FAU. And it's going to be a scary game. I mean, I like our chances to win, and I'm not saying that I don't have any confidence in our team. But I do think that both of these teams are two of the better teams in Conference USA, and they will be year in and year out for as long as Conference USA is a conference.
Despite all of Marshall's history and, you know, moving conferences and, you know, that you guys kind of have a lot of other quote-unquote rivalries, and I know what you mentioned, and I know FAU fans feel Marshall's a rivalry. Just there's been so many close games. You know, obviously we've talked about in the past, you know, a couple of years with Lane Kiffin, the craziness from last year. People remember the Rakeem Cato last minute field goal game.
I'm triggered.
Yeah.
For those who don't remember, that was what, 2013 or 14, Shane, when the kicker from South Florida ran around FAU Stadium doing this after kicking the game winner.
Yeah. So this is kind of the, do Marshall fans also kind of feel that way about FAU? And also, I also think a lot of it with FAU is, you know, people have, when Conference USA changed over, people haven't almost accepted us into the conference. We were looked at as not an addition to the conference, yet we've won the conference twice when we've been here, and Marshall fans still feel that they have this, we're kind of better than you, we were here first type attitude, despite, for us, you haven't won anything since we've been here. So, you know, I know that's where kind of the rivalry feels from. How do you see more Marshall fans feel about it?
I think most younger Marshall fans who are, you know, who do not have the long-standing hatreds of the Miami of Ohio's and the Ohio University and Appalachian States and Furman's and, you know, teams like that, this is their, you know, you guys are quickly becoming their Appy and Furman's for the older guys. And it's fun. You know, I think it was a great addition to the conference right from the beginning. And, you know, quickly you guys definitely proved that. And I think every addition to this conference thus far has been good. There's still a lot of Marshall fans who still look at Charlotte as, you know, they've only been playing football for whatever many years, and same with Old Dominion. And, you know, both of those teams have beaten us in the past and they look down on it. But as the, you know, as the younger fans start to move in and you know, invade social media, that's where you can see where some of these rivalries are starting to bud. And that's one thing good about social media with sports.
You can go, Jack.
No, I was going to say, hopefully it's a rivalry that will continue to grow. So, I mean, we already know that Marshall has the moonshine throwdown with Western. There's been some great games of the years against Middle Tennessee as well. But I feel like Marshall has always had some sort of angst against UCF, for example, back in the old school CUSA, CUSA 1.0. And I think it makes sense because, as both of you guys said earlier, Marshall recruits heavy in Florida. And they kind of have that rivalry where we're going after the exact same players. We're kind of feeling that UCF void, if you will. So, I mean, I know we definitely feel that rivalry down here. And I'm happy at least some of the younger guys up there are getting into it. Because, like you said, it's fun for sports. That's what makes it fun.
I don't like anybody in the conference. I mean, I root for – no matter, unless you're playing West Virginia, I root for every conference team to lose every weekend.
Yeah. Every single well, I mean, there's got to be one or two in there, right? Maybe, you know, no. UTSA is just hanging out. They're just doing whatever.
You don't pity UTEP.
No, I don't pity any of them. I hope they all lose. I don't – I just – I feel that, you know, our this conference, no matter what happens, is never going to get – you know, going undefeated in our conference is never going to get you anything extra in the polls, even if, you know, you guys – everybody has winning records. It's not going to make a bit of difference. So, in my opinion, I would rather you guys and everyone else go out and get drilled every weekend and have no confidence when you come to play us.
All right. With this year you guys are having, obviously you're ranked in this week's poll, good young quarterback. You know, we know about Knox and all the seniors on the offensive line. Do you feel any of the excitement is not as much there as opposed to obviously a normal season, you know, when, you know, under kind of not under these conditions of obviously COVID and not having to be able to have all the fans at the game?
Yeah, definitely. The opening game of the season was almost like going to a Wednesday night church service. I mean, some people were there because they felt like they had to be there. But now at the Appalachian State game definitely felt different. You know, that's our stadium, kind of like your all's and any stadium that has some metal in it, you know, can get loud whether it's full or not. And it got pretty loud in that game. So I think it's there. Now that we've played, you know, this will be what, three consecutive weeks is starting to get people back in the groove. You know, we announced the game on the 7th. So that means we're basically playing from now until I think the 21st straight through, provided there's no hiccups and, you know, starting this weekend, hopefully, you know, this goes off without a hitch and we continue to move on. But it's starting to come back and it's starting to feel a little bit more normal, but who knows how long that's going to last.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, Aaron, for being on with us. Where is, if FAU fans want to check a little bit more about Marshall, where's the best place for them to find you and more Marshall fans to have some banter with?
No. Over on Herd Nation, you know, we're one of the few rival sites that actually has a pretty active free site, free board still, where, you know, you can pretty much come on and talk and back and forth about the game and, you know, you'll get a lot of flack. And then of course, Twitter is always fun as well.
All right. We appreciate you being on with us and we're hoping for a pretty entertaining game this weekend.
Hope so. You guys stay safe down there.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Okay, well, we hope you guys enjoyed that interview. There is some scheduling news that we have. FAU did schedule a game with UMass on November 21st. So hopefully we get another game that FAU is able to make up in our bye week there. So that's good. I'm glad to see that FAU is trying to find some more games for us outside of conference, which, you know, overall can just be a more beneficial thing. So, before we wrap, there was some information on FAU's highest recruit. Shane, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can kind of just address the rumors and what some people are talking about, you know, if not reading the form. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of speculation of him flipping to his dad's school, Jackson State. A lot of people have always kind of wondered about this once Deion took the head coaching job there. Listen, guys, Shador is not playing FAU or doing any of this stuff. It's FAU's in a tough position because you're going up against someone's dad. The head coach of the school you're competing against technically has an in-home visit with him every night, right? I know Shador is communicating, you know, with our staff, like the rest of the recruits. He's communicating with other recruits still. You know, last time I spoke to him, he still said he was 100% committed. He paid on his own dime and paid for his own ticket to come to a game here. So, you know, even if he does decommit and flip, I will say this, it's FAU is not out of the race. This FAU is going to take this until signing day. So, you know, just kind of ride out the grind. This is what happens when, you know, you recruit four-star guys. Now, granted, this is a little different situation, but when you recruit these top guys and everyone wants this, you start every week, it's rumors. I mean, this is just a normal day for Miami and Florida and Florida State fans that recruits, you know. So, you know, just relax, as I said on Twitter.
Yeah, remain calm, trust the process. That's all we can do right now. You know, throwing our arms in the air for the possibility of him flipping isn't going to do anything. Just remain calm, trust the process. Real quick, I do want to say that the game against UMass, it's not official yet, but we think it's going to be a home game at FAU Stadium. It's going to take place of the Old Dominion game, November 21st. Old Dominion canceled their season outright back in August. And UMass is not good this year. Absolutely not good. They lost a great wide receiver a couple of years ago, and they have just been pummeled.
Well, for those that don't know, they weren't supposed to have a season.
Right.
And then a few weeks ago, they just said, hey, we're available. So, you know.
They've added four games in the last week. So
pretty much teams that want free wins schedule us and pay us.
Yeah. It's a great money-making avenue for UMass. All right, well, as always, make sure you guys are checking us out on iTunes, FAUOwlsNest.com, YouTube, all of the Twitterverse as well, and hopefully, you know, crossing our fingers, everything seems to be heading in a positive direction. I think the Willie kind of spoke with some certainty that this game was going to happen, so yeah, FAU has enough, right? They have enough to play, and hopefully they pull out a Miami Heat win. You know, Eric Spoelstra's famous for saying, "We have enough," right? So let's hope FAU has that same mindset. So, yeah, as always, we thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you next time. Go Owls!
And go Rays!